Shalom, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. Stephan Yah here on YahvaNotYahweh.com, and we'll be looking at many, many scriptures today, a whole realm of scriptures involving death, life, and even the heavenly messengers. The main title would be, here is the main title, what about doing visits to heaven? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10, in the Brit Kadashah. 1 Thessalonians 5, 10, while you're turning there, I'd like to thank those who voted on the website, YahvaYahweh.name, and this is the only way that I get paid. That is, that I would hear from someone, either through an email or guest book or the voting box there at the top of a few of the pages. I heard from five different people. So two of you said that you wanted to hear the MP3 files. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And I'm not looking for a reward, but a recognition ascertainment as to how many people would really like this to continue. So please do email me if you haven't yet, Stephan Yah at YahvaYahweh.name. And we're ready now with the scriptures, if we have silence here in the set-apart place. 5 verse 10, Paul is writing, and it's speaking of our Messiah, Yahusha, who died for us. Messiah died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. And then back to chapter 4. 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that the Messiah, the Anointed One, died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in the Messiah, the Anointed One, will Yahweh bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Almighty Yahweh, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Almighty Yahweh shall not prevent them which are dead or which are asleep. For the Almighty Yahweh himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel or the messenger, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead and Messiah will rise first. They use the word trump there. It actually should be trumpet to be consistent with Scripture. And this is partially in fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. So, again, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Or it could have said, and those asleep in Messiah, to be consistent with the earlier mention here, the reference toward death. For those who are asleep in Messiah shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Almighty Yahweh in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Almighty Yahweh. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. It says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's good. It is very good to hear encouragement about heaven. I don't ever remember a time in the last 10 years of attending a messianic gathering where they talked about it. But we certainly believe in that, especially during the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Shavuot as well, or Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Sukkot in Hebrew. Yes, and we can be sure that Yahweh is going to reward his special people. The Messiah stated that no one ascended to the Father but the Son of Man. He spoke this in the book of Yochanan, or John, chapter 3. And at that time, up until that time, no man has ascended up to heaven. I'm quoting here the Messiah, no man has ascended up to heaven, no man. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And what about all those exceptions? Was Lazarus and the rich man in that account, was that a true story where the rich man, without even having been judged, already had gone to hell, and that he was able to communicate with Lazarus? Well, these are exceptions to the rule. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, Yeshayahu 42, I am Yahweh. Now, this is referring more now to idolatry, as I switch on a different avenue at this time about idolatry for a moment. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my majesty will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass. So here, speaking of prophecy now. The former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The prophecy, the forthtelling of events to happen, or even quoting Yahweh's special message to us, is prophecy. And that was found in Isaiah 42, verses 8 and 9. And also notice that his praise is not to be given to another, not to King David, not to Miriam, as many in the old-time churches believe, but not even to Miriam or Mary, no one. But he said, I will not give my praise to graven images. Anything where the praise is directed to another deity, that is idolatry, and that's in the New Age movement, to worship someone else. Idolatry is the New Age worship. It's the zeitgeist of today. Okay, what about doing visits to heaven? There was a gentleman, and we should respect one another, those who are in ministry. This gentleman was Kevin, and first initial Z on YouTube, and he says that he makes visits to heaven, and featured on the Sid Roth Show. Well, this prophet Kevin, what he does not say is more important than what he did say. And we'll have a few quotations. We're not going to be overly critical about this person. Once again, we have to have mutual respect for the other ministers. What does the prophet, what the prophet does not say that he heard in heaven is more important than what he is quoted as he did say, such as something like this: if I were to make a journey or pilgrimage to, if I were invited to be in the throne room with Yahweh, and he were to send me back down to give you this message to be a prophet, he might send me along with a message from Matthew chapter 3. Verse 10, his axe is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. And you could continue with that reading, Matthew 3, 10 through 12. The message of Hebrews 10 and 12 might be repeated, and hopefully I could have a little time, possibly near the end here. We're going to see how time goes, but Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 12. Possibly those message would be... repeated in some form, if it were possible for a person to go to heaven, which I just read that the Messiah said that no man has ascended up to heaven, there in John 3:13. So, did the Father mention anything to this prophet to beware of false prophets? And one of those scripture verses in Yahweh's Word is Ezekiel 13, where he says, if you're turning there now or on your screen, Ezekiel 13, woe unto the foolish prophets. This is 13 verse 6 in Yekezekel. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, Yahweh saith. And Yahweh had not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, Yahweh saith it, albeit I have not spoken. I have not told this prophet to go forth and to do the forthtelling. That was an example in Scripture, along with Jeremiah 14:14, about prophets and the advice, the warnings we get here to be very, very careful. Jeremiah 14:14, "Then Yahweh said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake I unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart is in their message." I assume, I don't know if I failed to copy that. "And the deceit of their heart is what they prophesy from." Oh, yeah, okay, here we go. Next verse. "Therefore thus saith Yahweh concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed." The end of that from Jeremiah 14. And where in that heavenly prophecy, that YouTube prophecy, is there a reference to idolatry, the ecumenical one world religion taking over the world, world's governments and churches, psychology in the church, which we don't, we only need the word, we don't need outside help from so-called psychologists, but there's a difference of opinion about that in the leadership of churches. There was not any teaching about idolatry or adultery, and on and on. There was nothing said about immersion or baptism, and in Scripture there are at least 30 references. If you look up the word baptize or baptism, I found 30 of them, and I think that, oh yes, okay, here's one, Luke 3:16. John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall immerse you with a Ruach HaKadosh and with fire." So we covered Ezekiel 13 about the false prophets, Jeremiah 14, and why in this appearance of somebody who's going to heaven and coming back to give us the prophetic message, where are the references to and the warnings of the ecumenical movement, the idolatry, the psychology, adultery, and on, or the reference to the pro things we should do, like to be immersed, to repent? Well, one could say, well, it was in one of my other messages that he privately recorded a message in a studio, but not before his congregation. But I don't know whether that was the rule or not. I'm not judging this person's ministry. I'm just saying that, pointing out that it was, according to Scripture, not possible for a man to be sent to heaven. He probably had some vision on, and I didn't explain that this gentleman was on his deathbed, and he was considered, his heart stopped, so he was considered dead. And then during that time, he had what I believe is a dream or a vision. And other than the things I mentioned, it's good to be encouraging people about these going to heaven and what it would be like, not speculating too much. But we will read a scripture or two from the Word as we do all the way through at Feast of Tabernacles, but today we're just going to read one of them coming up. And Psalm 119 speaks of trying to deceive one another, as well as in Exodus chapters 20 to 23. But Psalm 119, David said, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law, thy Torah, do I love." And Paul also echoed that in Romans chapter 7. "I hate and abhor lying." Then Psalm 125, or excuse me, 29, verse 5, 129. "Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion." So there's the anti-Zionist movement in assemblies today, the anti-Semitic movement in some assemblies. "Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion, that they committed adultery and blood is in their hands. and with their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. And we're reading from chapter 23, now verse 38. Moreover, this they have done unto me, and they have defiled my set-apart place, or Mikudesh, or commonly called sanctuary, in the same day. And they have defiled my set-apart place in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths. Yes, they may have kept the Sabbath, but they profaned it by the methods that they were using. And then in Ezekiel 33, verse 8, Yahweh the Father says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thine hand. So I'm speaking here possibly to you, but this prophet, who, and I'm not going to call him a false prophet, it's just that he left out too much, this vision, this visit that he had in heaven. He left out the part to warn us. He just, and I didn't even tell you yet what he did talk about. We'll do that too. So maybe my organization skills or something. So Proverbs 16, verse 4, Yahweh has made all things for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. How about that one? A lot of people think that we're all going to heaven. And there's been many songs that talk about that, that he just says, I forgive. Yahweh has made all things for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of evil. So this prophecy from heaven by Brother Kevin, the YouTube prophet, prophesied from heaven about the message that he received there from the Father, and it sounds to me like he's saying, he did say this, people, now here's the most important message that he got out of heaven. People are the most valuable asset to heaven. But it sounds to me like he was saying, in other words, keep up the good work, church, and have a nice day. Well, I don't have any negative warnings to pass on, so go on down to earth and tell them, just keep it up, keep a good attitude, be kind to one another, and the rest I'll set in order when you arrive here. Carry on. But reading from Peter, that's the first book of Peter, chapter 4, 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be, or what shall the final story be? What will be the conclusion or end be of them that obey not the evangel of Yahweh? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? That is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. And we could read from other quotations or citations or other scriptures. And for example, Exodus 6 or Deuteronomy 6. Let's do Deuteronomy first of all. For Yahweh thy Elohim is a jealous Elohim among you. This is in Deuteronomy 6:15. Lest the anger of Yahweh thy Elohim be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt Yahweh your Elohim as you tempted him in Massa. You shall diligently keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and his testimonies and his statutes which he commanded thee. So that's quite a contrast from the message that this gentleman received that in his vision in heaven, that people are the most valuable asset in heaven was the message that he received. But Yahweh's word goes like this in Exodus chapter 6, at Shemot 6, verse 3, and I appeared, and this would probably be the Son speaking, the Father speaking through the Son, and the King James used the word Jehovah here, which was closer, a lot closer than the title Lord, but the actual place in the Hebrew text is it should be, and it is YHVH, the Tetragrammaton, or pronounced Yahweh. They like to use other pronunciations. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of Yahweh Almighty. Now here it used in the King James, G-O-D. So we know that in the original, that would be Elohim there, or in our language, the Supreme One. So he appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of Yahweh Almighty. But my name, Yahweh, was I not known to them. And I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. In the New Testament, called Gentiles. So the righteous scarcely are saved. So we need to come to Yahweh with fear and trembling. Even the demons fear and tremble, but that would be the minimum, the least that we need to do in our relationship with Yahweh, because he has this wonderful relationship. He loves us very much. But it said in the book of Psalms, Tehillim, chapter 7, verse 11, Yahweh judges the righteous, and Yahweh is angry with the wicked every day. That's Psalm 7:11, which goes well with that other one I quoted earlier, Proverbs 16:4, Yahweh has made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. So that was Proverbs 16:4, and then this one is Psalms 7:11. And if we read, there's quite a contrast if we read the entire book of Psalms and all the prophets, major and minor, and compare that with this message from heaven that this gentleman said that he received, to simply keep up the good work and keep smiling, and people are the most valuable asset in heaven. I think he must have missed a few lines there. That no, I say that only in jesting. So, and it's not coarse jesting either, by the way. And then in the book of Acts, or Maasa, chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, that's 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Yahweh. This is regarding prophecy. Saith Yahweh, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And then it continues there. Yes, reading Psalm 1, talking about the David speaking there of the commandments, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh, the mighty Yahweh, and his wonderful, blessed, pure word. Psalm 1, I'm going to read two verses. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh. Do we hear that on these neo-evangelical programs? No, we don't. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he does meditate night and day. Well, we meditate on all the scriptures. Loosely could be referred to as the law, I suppose, if we would the whole of scripture. So that's more in line with the theme that should have been given, or that's like Dr. Kevin should have given in his heavenly vision. The delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he does meditate night and day. And then there would be specifics: to refrain from idolatry, from things strangled with blood, from fornication, and many of the basics. Many of the things which we neglect to dwell on in our studies and in our listening and preaching and listening. We should be trembling before the presence of Almighty Yahweh. His ways are perfect. His word and his Torah is perfect. Psalm 1, we just read part of that. Psalm 19, that the law of Yahweh converts the soul. His commandments, statutes, and judgments are perfect in making wise the simple. His salvation is free is such a precious thing to all those that love Him. In truth, and very soberly, I, Stephaniah, believe that this prophet might have had a dream of some sort during his short death time. Yes, he died on the operating table, it was said, but his soul was revived. Praise Yahweh that he, his heart started beating again. That's what it did. But I don't believe that he went back and forth to heaven and took messages back and forth for us. Yahweh can speak to us through the Word, isn't it? That is enough in itself. But He's also sending prophets to confirm and reinforce these messages of repentance, baptism, and repentance. There's two things that are very. Two things that are imperative: baptism and repentance, as pointed out in the Scripture. For example, Acts chapter 2, 38, and also Mark 16, and throughout Scripture. And now that dream that he had, though, the touching on some of the good parts of it, perhaps reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12:18, for you are not come to a mountain that can be touched, and you come to a blazing fire, and to darkness, and gloom, and storm, and to the blast of a shofar, and a voice whose words made those who heard it beg that not another word be spoken to them. This is the tree of life. For they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal, here's what was commanded, if even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. So terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am quaking with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, and a myriad of messengers, a joyous gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are written in a scroll in heaven. So here's the key right here. You have come to Mount Zion. So we don't need to necessarily have a book written or a tape or a CD about going to heaven. Here it is. You've come to Mount Zion, to the city, and this is the heavenly New Jerusalem. To myriads of messengers, a joyous gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are written in a scroll in heaven, and we've come to Yahweh, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous ones made perfect, and to Messiah, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks of something better than the blood of Abel. In verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who was warning them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns us from heaven. His voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this phrase, yet once more, shows the removal of those things that are shaken, that is, created things, so that what can't be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Through this, we may offer worship in a manner pleasing to Yahweh with reverence and awe, for Yahweh is a consuming fire. And then backing up in that 12th chapter of Abram to verse 12, you ought to read the whole chapter again. It's such a blessing to read chapters 10 and 12. So verse 12, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame will be pulled out of joint, but rather, didn't make any sense, did it? So that what is lame will not be pulled out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue shalom with everyone. And the being pure, being separated, without which no one will see Yahweh. See to it that no one falls short of the unmerited favor, or common word grace, of Yahweh, and see to it that no bitter root springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Also see to it that there is no immoral or goodless person. Yahweh without Yahweh, like Esau, who sold his birthright for one meal. You know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He found no chance for repentance, though he begged for it with tears. And then chapter 13, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. And so then we'll continue now from Hebrews. 1 Thessalonians is going to be one that we will be quoting here. 1 Thessalonians 5, that the last trumpet sounds. Oh, we did do this already, of course. In my notes it says the last trumpet sounded. First the dead, or those asleep in Messiah, shall rise. After this the judgment. We, if we are faithful, will be, and we don't fall, will be in New Jerusalem very shortly from this time, face to face with the one who died on the tree, our Messiah. Remember that at the point where Messiah spoke on earth that no one has ascended to heaven except the Son of Man, even King David is still in the grave. That's right, King David is still in the grave. It says, David has not ascended into the heavens, but he himself, he saith himself, Yahweh said unto my master, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. And one of the large religions claims that Miriam ascended into heaven at a feast called the Assumption. Well, that is quite an assumption, all right, because that conflicts 180 degrees. That's opposite to what the scripture says. We just read that even King David is not in heaven. So how could this Miriam have ascended to heaven? Quite an assumption. And furthermore, could we pray to Miriam as being our advocate to Messiah? And furthermore, is she the queen of heaven? See Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44, verse 18. And the people are speaking. And negatively, that they had complained about this, that they gave up their idolatry. And then things went the worst. It says, since we left off to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. Well, that was because of their past disobedience and their hearts still were not right. Then continuing, when we burned incense to the queen of heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? So verse 3, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me, that is to provoke Yahweh, to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other Elohim, whom they knew not, neither they nor their fathers. They would be consumed by the sword and by the famine. But speaking of that Miriam, that one who was at that time the mother of Messiah, the virgin at that time, Mary's only command said, do whatever Messiah tells you to do. And that was her first and last command, found in John chapter 2, verse 5, at the marriage in Cana. Miriam said, or rather it's written, his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And then in that mainline church that teaches that Miriam is the co-redeemer with Messiah, that is false teaching. Some of their other doctrines might be a mixture of true and false doctrines, or some in-between ones. Huh? But anyway, that's false doctrine there, to believe that she is a co-redeemer. That's blasphemy there, taking away from the finished work of Yahusha's Messiah's wonderful work on the tree at Calvary. Some say the cross, or the gnarly torture stake. That Yahweh died for the sins of those believing in him in all the world, for those who would repent and obey and love him and become the espoused bride at this time, as he, the bridegroom, will come quickly in the air to meet us soon. Now, before we continue with this message of life and death, I would like to tell you what we believe here at this ministry, that we believe in Messiah, Yahushua, His blood, His covenant, and His Torah. His covenant found in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, where He will write His laws in our hearts and mind. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit, as evidenced by the speaking in the foreign tongues, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and throughout that chapter, and 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, the infilling of the Spirit, Ruach HaKadosh. We believe in the rewards of heaven and eternal life, which begins shortly in New Jerusalem, and that we will enjoy life in Messiah, in His kingdom, now and forever. There are many other beliefs too, but that's just a short list of what we believe here at YahvahYahweh.name. So as we continue now and pick up this study of life, death, and angels, and that title that it keep, what about doing visits to heaven? And so here it is, I think. Oh, the second most important thing, Secrets of Angels is one of the important things that was brought out. And to accept these prophecies of these so-called angels as true, it must be consistent with the word of Yahweh. And furthermore, it's not a secret if you can word it, if you can read it in the word anyway. But he did say the second most important thing is just watch your words, because your words have power. The first most important thing was people are the most valuable asset to heaven. The second was just watch your words. Well, the Almighty Father and Messiah is our hope and desire. And we need to take this, the focus off of self and turn all attention to Yahweh and His Word. We're not the most valuable asset to heaven. The Almighty Father is here taking the focus off of selfism. The Scripture says, humble yourselves in the mighty hand of Yahweh, and He will lift you up. Lift Him up, and let Him, also in another place Messiah said, let him who wants to be first be last. So the message of encouragement about heaven is a good message if it was done properly, and we sure need that. We need to get a refreshing. Every year we do this at the Feast of Tabernacles, and the theme is New Jerusalem. It's the prophetic theme there that's really wonderful. There's a lot of other things about it, but mainly about what will happen in the days to come. But just imagine the beauty in heaven, just so many things that you couldn't even imagine or describe or be allowed to tell. And there's been much speculation about heaven books and wonderful heaven books. Some of it is true. And the message our Father or Messiah would give us, if He were to tell us to take a message back to earth, would be something like, we're neglecting to know His Word, to study it, and to do it. There might be lots of other encouragements and blessings as well, but I say the first priority is repent and be baptized. I agree with that prophet Yochanan or John. And I would ask, what are the instructions for me, Father? Despite the many reports, allegedly, of going to heaven, it might be natural to want to believe that somebody went there and back. It seemed like Paul did, and Messiah said, no one ascended to the Father but the Son of Man. And the Messiah could just as easily show us in the Word, or tell us, or emphasize the instruction of which scriptures to be conscious of at more than others, and to investigate this. But in hearing messages from heaven, we need to investigate those messages and those prophets and make an evaluation. And but it could be a real blessing when you come out with the truth. The question is, when a person dies today without being judged, without the judgment, and going to their eternal destination, some of the examples of King David, that even David didn't go, Acts 2:34, and David is one of the most important in the kingdom. Some believe that when one dies and they're a believer in good faith, that they go to the bosom of Abraham. But still, we remember that the dead know nothing, so they would be unconscious. Somehow there might be some indications of what's going on in the last days, according to the book of the Revelation. And Elijah was transported. He didn't go to the seventh heaven. He was transported to the first heaven, and he came down somewhere else on the earth and sent a letter. So Elijah was transported to the first heaven, or the sky, and came down, transported somewhere else on the earth, and sent a letter that was received. 2 Kings 2:11. It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And that word heaven is Hebrew word number 8064. It can be the sky, it can be the celestial, or it could even be the third heaven. But so there's the story in 2 Kings 2:11, and then going along with that, much later, 2 Chronicles 21:12, with a letter appearing to Jehoram, a wicked king. 2 Chronicles 21:12. And there came a writing to him, that is to Jehoram, an evil king, from Elijah the prophet, or Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but has walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and has made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also has slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will Yahweh smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by reason of thy by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. That was the 2 Chronicles 21. And remember that in 1 Thessalonians, that the last trumpet must be sound. It says, first the dead, those asleep in Messiah, shall rise. And after this, the judgment, or some say the judgment period, will be in New Jerusalem soon, very shortly, and being face-to-face with the one, the King of Kings, the Governor, the Sovereign One, the Almighty One. So whether we live or whether we die, in the meantime, we do all the Scripture commands us to do. And they are contained in the book, in Genesis to Revelation. And we don't live by the exceptions to any of Yahweh's rule. And we appreciate those who have stood with us here on Yahweh, not Yahweh.name. Thank you very much for your a few of the letters that we have received. And let's see, to be a little bit critical about it, though, we see on these TV presentations, these TV Age and YouTube presentations, a flashy, charismatic thing with the cliches you may have heard through years ago, that taking some of the scriptures a little bit out of context, like, I can do all things through Messiah, I am an overcomer, I have the victory. The emphasis is on self there, to put all those type of scriptures referring to yourself, and instead of putting them on the Sovereign One, the husband Yahusha, and Yahweh the Father. So in Acts chapter 5, verse 29 now, more revelation here, and Kepha is speaking. Peter and the emissaries speaks about the current state. What should our behavior be? Is it better to obey rather than giving him our sacrifices of praise? Or should we expand upon our human potential? Or the first truth that this gentleman said from his message in heaven was talked about our self-esteem or our value of every believer. And the second truth of the believer was security of the believer. And while it is good to know we can be secure if we abide in him, it's encouraging, and we need to continue to maintain our faithfulness to Yahweh. But we need to put the emphasis on not what he can do for us, but what we ought to do for him, and obey Messiah's and of course his Father's commandments, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, the statutes and the judgments. And this might seem cut and dried, a little bit too dry doctrine, but no, this is a spirit-filled message here. Let us hope in the Word, not hope in hope. So, Acts 5, verse 29 now. Maasa 5, 29. And Peter and the emissaries replied, "We must obey Yahweh rather than men. Yahweh of our fathers raised up Messiah, whom you seized and had impaled or crucified. This one Yahweh exalted at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and removal of sins. And we are witnesses of these events, as is the Ruach HaKadosh, whom Yahweh has given to those who obey him." So see, it's not just a matter of raising our hands. Yes, that too. Raising and praising and speaking in heavenly language, but it's more of obeying Yahweh. So that was Acts 5:29 through 32. To obey is better than our sacrifices. And then referring again to that tenet there, that people are the most valuable asset in heaven. Let's look at that scripture, 2 Corinthians 5. For a moment here, and may I have the King James there? That's the text that I have marked, and the Tree of Life I've only had for a year or two, so it only has a few marks here and there, only a couple of dozen maybe, that I had to transpose from my good faithful King James Version. So we're looking at Corinthians. It's a all the encouragement in the world in Scripture here. We really don't need outside sources. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of Yahweh, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If it's so, that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is Yahweh, who has also given us the earnest, or the guarantee of the Spirit." Praise Yahweh. And also in verse 9, labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, whether we'll be with him in the future or presently in the kingdom of Yahweh. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. But that is comment that that's not necessarily the great white throne judgment. See 1 Corinthians 3:13. "Knowing therefore the terror or fear of Yahweh, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto Yahweh, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." Yes, we need to be convinced of hearing the word of Yahweh. Verse 14, "The love of Messiah constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all," if the Messiah died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, not that gospel of false gospel of selfism, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Messiah after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Messiah, he is a new creature, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me repeat that. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Messiah, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the Almighty Father and Messiah are the priority. Take the focus off self and turn all attention to him and his word. No, my friend, people are not the most valuable asset to heaven. The Almighty Father is on the throne. He should be on the throne of our intellect. Psalm verse 9:9-10. Yahweh will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Yahweh, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Now, if there were time, I might be able to add a few things as a way of edifying the body of Messiah. If we have time to do this, I was thinking of putting a few bits and pieces of songs from out of the past. The singer, the late Keith Green, actually, I think he died in the 70s. Unfortunately, he was a man who called for being separate, for coming out of the great whore and the churches of the world. But Keith Green wrote and played and sang many, many wonderful songs, like My Trials Turned to Gold back in 1977, and the album For Him Who Has Ears to Hear. Also on that same album, Because of You, speaking of Messiah. And I can't believe it. I can't believe it's true that he has been so gracious and given us eternal life. In other words, You Put This Love in My Heart, from 1977. That's in that same album, For Him Who Has Ears to Hear. Asleep in the Light, a song from, I think it was from the 1980s, talks about our Laodicean attitude of being asleep in the light. And then he dedicated a song to the Almighty in 1982 from Songs for the Shepherd, called You Are the One. So we may be able to play that, and also a nice instrumental from Keith, at least a portion there in the background. There's so many good worship songs, and now we don't want to listen to the media, to the world's clamor, and imitating the culture of the world and their carnal beat. No, that's out of place. That's not keeping with the spirit of Yahweh. Yes, we must have it all in order, and anticipating the second coming and being pure, keeping ourselves from the world and the filthiness of the world, keeping our flesh pure. Let's say, stay away from the fleshly carnal, or rather carnality, the spirit and the mood, the zeitgeist, the age of the world, and focus on Yahweh, concentrate on him. There is a song back in the songbooks, Blessed Assurance. And if you've tried everything, put that aside and try Messiah. Down from his glory, which I would have to change that last word there, but oh, there's so much beautiful music out there. Now My Heart Is Satisfied. This is by the Accents from 1956. How I Love Him So. and Messiah is all the world to me. So many good songs out there. Praise Yah for that. Well, let's see if I can pick up one more scripture verse here, or thought, on YahweHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyHyH some final advice. Read the Word. Read the Word maintain your place in Yahweh by obeying His Word. And let's love Him and give Him every Sabbath that wonderful rest day as our Sabbath comes to a close, seventh-day Sabbath, and the heat of the day is upon us. And we kind of wind down here having an afterglow, but we appreciate the idea that soon Yahweh will open up those heavens to us and everything will be all fresh and more blessed than you can ever imagine. Praise Yah. Shalom to you, and hope to be hearing from you in those emails. Drop me a line and let me know that this is worthwhile for you to, and for me to continue doing this. The address is StephanYah@YahvehYahweh.name. Maranatha, may Yahweh come quickly and keep on working for the Messiah, because He's going to appear very, very soon and call up His emissaries to settle down on the New Jerusalem. We're looking forward to this anticipation, moment by moment, for Yahweh's soon and impending coming. Praise Yah.